Blog Talk Radio.
Jesus is a heartbeat, the blood inside of me, the life inside of me.
You. This is Kino Empowerment Inc. Radio, KEIFM.com, and the program is Kingdom Keys Spirit, Soul, and Body Series. Today we are going to be talking about teach by being example to others. Last week I talked about how our children will be able to teach others. Today we will be talking in the line of how we'll be able to do it. Hallelujah. Let's go ahead and begin. Thank you, Lord. We bless you today. We thank you for everything today. We bless you, Lord. We are here. We need you in our lives. We cannot do it by ourselves. Thank you, Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. So we are on this topic. Now we realize that Paul had care for his son Timothy, and we see that in 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 2. Okay, And we seen the instruction given by Paul to Timothy so that his progress will be seen to believers in the church. And we also see that all the writings, both First and Second Timothy, were designed to give Timothy instructions on how he will be able to conduct local assembly and its leadership functions. You know, that is the church of the living God. It has to be done well. It has to be done in the manner that Paul wanted to be done. So we are going to be reading from the book of 1 Timothy, chapter 3, way down, okay? So let's see. Let's see from verse 14, okay? So I read 1 Timothy 3 from verse 14. It says, "These things I write to you, though I hope to come to you shortly. But if I am delayed, arise so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourselves, how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth." Verse 16. "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness." Now he began to give examples. He said, "God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up in glory." Now we then move to chapter 4, from verse 1. He said, "Now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter time some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron." Verse 3. "Forbidding to marry, are commanded to abstain from food which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth." Verse 4. "For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer." Verse 6. "If you instruct the brethren in these things, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished in the words of faith and of the good doctrine which you have carefully followed." Verse 7. "But reject profane and old wives' fables, and exercise yourself towards godliness. For bodily exercise profit a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come." Verse 9. "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance." Verse 10. "For to this end we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those who believe. These things command and teach." Verse 12, he said, "Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in words, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity." Verse 13, "Till I come." Give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Verse 14, "Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the eldership. Verse 15, meditate on these things, give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Verse 16, take heed to yourself and to the doctrine, continuing them, for in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. Hallelujah. Isn't that so sweet? The word of God is sweeter than honey. Hallelujah. Now we see here that the Bible is the written form of what God expects us to know and do. See, God chooses, for example, Paul. We've seen Paul wrote so many of these scriptures, and we see God chose Paul to carry out one phase of his plan. Then through Paul, the inspired teaching was written down for every one of us today. And as such, it was passed on to Timothy. Then it was passed on to others. Later, it was passed on to us today. Times have changed, and time will continue to change. The original authority, the original power remains. It does not change. For example, the blood of Jesus Christ will never change. It has not changed. It will never lose its strength. It will never lose its power. It remains constant. Hallelujah. Because the Bible is the word of God, all these things remain constant. It must be studied seriously. This is the word of God. This is the word that was passed on to us. Since it is from God, we must study it seriously. And we must understand it. And we must apply it faithfully and obediently. Paul intended this letter to teach us believers how we need to conduct ourselves in the midst of our brothers and sisters in the house. And if we do it well, we will do well in our lives. And we should do it well to read it carefully. Then we see a short hymns, and we transition to the chapter 4. Now, in the light of what he has been teaching his son Timothy, you and I agree, or you and I know, that there's going to be times where we will have false teachers. There will always be false teachers. There has been false teachers. There were and still are a threat to the church today. I'm not going to dwell on talking about false teaching today, but I'll just give a just brief summary. You see, Paul was warning Timothy not only of this specific problem, but of any teaching that caused the believers to dilute or reject part of their faith. Now, if the word of we are hearing contradict the word of God, the scripture, then we have a problem. So our teaching become what? False. And we become false prophet, false teachers. So if the source is not from the scripture, we are likely to be having a false. So we have to have the source that proved to be from the Bible, from the scripture. So we see that the false teaching, I mean the false teacher, were hypocrites, they were liars who encouraged people to follow doctrines of the devil. And we see examples of that in the scripture, where the in verse 1-3 of that chapter 4, you will see the influence of Satan. You know, Satan deceived people. Satan can infiltrate the church and devastate the church, either by causing division in the church, separating the church. And he knows that when we are disorganized, we are confused, we are fighting ourselves, we are not in disunity, there's no power, there's no anointing, Holy Spirit is gone. We just then rely on our strength, and nothing works, and we have all kinds of problems. But we see that that can be, and we see that in the church, that they speak lies in hypocrisy, having their own conscience here with hot iron, forbidding people to marry, and commanding them to abstain from food which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. Now, let's go on now to verse 12. Okay? Verse 12. It said, let no one despise your truth, your youth, but be an example to the believers. It's possible that there were people who were putting him down. They looked down him. It's possible that he was in his late 30s or early 30s, and he might talk, and he might say something, and they might say, oh, okay, I was going to believe this. So he was a young pastor. And just because you are young does not mean that God has not given you wisdom. Does not mean that whatever you are saying should be neglected, or should be looked down on them. It would have been easy for other Christians to look down on him because of his youth. It would have been easy for other Christians to look down on him because of his youth. And because of that, he had to earn the respect of his elders by setting an example in his teaching, in his life, in his love, in his faith, in his purity. So regardless of our age, God can use us, whether we are young, whether we are old. So we are not to think of our age as a handicap. So we are not going to look upon ourselves and say, okay, because I'm old,
so I have godly wisdom. No, I've seen so many poor people, I'm sorry to say, very big fool. And at the same time, I've seen just a young 13 years yesterday, the wisdom that the guy has is amazing. And at the same time, I've seen an older than me in the same yesterday, but he's just like a big fool. Has no idea what is going on. Just like ignorant, completely ignorant, doesn't know what is going on. To explain, I'm not going to go into detail of that. So we see that we are to live so others can see Christ in us, irrespective of how young or how old we are. So he says that the way we teach others is by being an example to others. That's the way Paul instructs Timothy to teach others is by being an example. That is doing it, not just saying it with words or instructing by his words in his doctrine, but by actually doing it, being an example. That is, you are living it. You are manifesting it in your life. Others will see it, and they would. If you transition to verse 16, it said, take heed to yourself, to the doctrine. Continue with them. He said, for in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. That is, you no longer save yourself, but you also save those who are now seeing you, who are now seeing you are living that lifestyle. Hallelujah. So we see, he said, the cure for people not to look down on you as a kid or as a youth is by being in conduct, in behavior, in what? In love, which is the love of Christ, in spirit, which is the attitude or the power of the Holy Spirit, in faith, meaning trust in God, and six, in purity, both in sexual matters and in thought. Now, these are godly elements that we need to harness in our life, like a character we need to possess. That is, when they see us, they see the spirit, they see the love, they see our conversation is in the scriptures, not complaining, not backbiting, not cursing. See, but these things are characteristics of our life. Does that mean that we are not Christian? We are Christian, but we still have the flesh trying to war against the spirit. And that is the reason we need to conquer the flesh so that the spirit will take control all the time, not sometimes when we are in the church, but also when we are out in the church. All times, not only certain times, not only on Sunday, all the time. Hallelujah. Very important. Teach by being example, not only to believers, but also to non-believers. And that is one of the reasons who will be able to witness, and they believe. Of what use when we act or we speak, we do things that's contrary to the word of God? They just because they are contrary to the word of God, then we expect them to receive Christ. It's not, it will not work. Most of them, we call them unbelievers. Most of them have heard the word of God. It could be just maybe they have hardened their heart, or they maybe Satan trick, or maybe they just discouraged by one of us. They say, "Oh, okay, you are a Christian. I don't want to be your Christian. I remember where I am." So we have turned them away. So, but if we teach them by being a good example of Christ, they will likely change and become one of us. But if we are just as discouraged, all we are asking is blessing, 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 asking to know the source of that blessing. Just one example. Just as discouraged as unbelievers, then who want to follow us? Hallelujah. So we see here that we are to, we said verse 14 says, he said, "Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the eldership." We all have gifts, we all have abilities, we all have talent. Here is talking about a special gift that was imparted to him when he lay hands on him. See, when he lay hands on him, there was a gift that was imparted to him. So he has to harness it, he has to cherish it, he has to continue to walk towards those gifts and begin to use it. You see, it's a meditate on these things. My time is running out. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Everyone will see it, that yes, this is a man of God. This is truly a man of God. For example, you are not misjudging. You are not joining one group, condemning the other group. You are being fair to both sides. You are a peace-loving pastor, a prophet, apostle, whatever your designation might be. So we see that this is an example where we need to take heed. It says, take heed to yourself, to the doctrine. He also talked about reading. So we have to read and exhort one another. See, Timothy deserves encouragement, so he wrote this to encourage him. So we also need to encourage others as well, especially in the ministry, in the local church, deacons, board members, fellow brothers and sisters. So we encourage them. We also talked about doctrine, that is the formal teaching and instruction in the word of God. So important for every one of us, Timothy, to be diligent. And we see this as a way for us to do good and be able to save ourselves and those who he heals. So